Hey, fellow writers, KJ here, as we launch into an episode that's ostensibly about how we get all the things done. Spoiler alert, we don't, and I am having a really depressing winter on that front. But I can tell you the one thing that can really help you shift into prioritizing your work is to invest in it, and to make a commitment to another person to work through challenges both on the page and in the calendar. Our sponsor, Author Accelerator, matches writers in both fiction and nonfiction with book coaches who can help you go from stuck to done, no matter where you are in the process. Find out more at authoraccelerator.com/amwriting.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
KJ Dell'Antonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing. Hashtag Am Writing is the podcast about writing all the things, fiction, nonfiction, pitches, proposals, really, as I do say every week. And I pretty much think I say that every week, too. This is the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done, and oh boy, today is it ever the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure, and I write about kids, and I write about substance abuse, and I write about so many fun things at places like The New York Times, The Atlantic, and The Washington Post. And I'm currently editing my next book, which will be out in 2021.
And I'm Serena Bowen, the author of 30-odd romance novels, and I have a deadline on March 10th, guys, so this is a great topic for me today.
This is so timely because we all have various deadlines that we're working towards right now. So,
yes.
Well, let's start.
I haven't introduced myself yet, guys. People won't know who I am.
I am KJ Dell'Antonia. I am the author of The Chicken Sisters, a novel coming out this summer, and How to Be a Happier Parent, which is out in hardback now and will be out in paperback this summer. So big summer for me. And, mostly at the moment, you'll find me on Instagram, but I'm also a pretty regular contributor to the New York Times and a few other places.
You've been doing some really fun book talks lately, Missy Instagram.
I have been. It's my series. It's called Hashtag Books That Won't Bum You Out, and it's all books that won't bum you out.
Because
I felt like I needed someone to recommend those books to me, and one of my things for the year is start the things you wish other people would do. So there we go.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So we should talk about what our topic is for today and why it's our topic for today. Do you wanna talk about that, Serena?
Well, what we really do all day is try to figure out where does the time go, and we all have children and other responsibilities besides writing. And
someone asked us.
Someone asked about this in the Facebook group too. Someone said, it's all nice and good when you talk about the broad strokes, but we want the nitty gritty, like how you're actually getting the work done with all the other things you have to do.
We had this great exchange in there in which we sort of all went back to, well, you know, when our kids were little, things were different. And I sort of ended that exchange thinking, well, and that's true. When the kids were little, you know, it was harder. And yet, as I look at, I've actually been keeping track of my week. And I'm realizing, okay, when the kids were little, I had a babysitter. So I had dedicated work time. And at the moment, I have made the mistake of not. And my work time is looking super pitiful at the moment. So yeah, let's dig into what we,
why don't we start, KJ,
all day and when we do it.
Since you've been such a good doobie and kept track of your time, why don't you go ahead and start?
It's been really depressing, guys.
I'm sorry. You informed me on a text the other day that I was a 10-minute time waster.
You did. You sucked my time away with a tempting text that, granted, I should never have looked at. So, you know, one of you start, and I'm just going to do a little math here, a little ugly math.
Serena? You go.
Here's
the thing. I feel really bad about this because my reality is different. So my kids, we all have kids that overlap, but I only have two of them. One of them is in college And he's actually even away this semester. He's studying away from his college, so he's even further away than usual. And then I have a 16-year-old kid who is so sort of self-directed and doesn't want much to do with me, except for this week he's been really sick. So I've had to, you know, this week has actually been a busier week than usual because I've had a lot of interviews. I've had a lot of obligations, you know, sort of phone calls. I've got a bunch of travel coming up. And before I do that, I have these conference calls with the organizers. And so it's been a lot of that this week. And there's been a few things I've had to move around because I've had to pick him up from school when he's like, I can't stay. I really do horrible. So there, this week has been, you know, dicier than usual. But for the most part, I'm sickeningly flexible because except for like these three dogs that get bummed out when I leave the house or when I move around the house, I have a ton of time to get my stuff done. So I'm not very helpful. But when I look at what I was doing when my kids were little, you know, again, it was really different. I didn't have a babysitter, but I, you know, I did have friends that I traded with a lot. I had neighbors close by and my kids would run off to their house. But on a nitty-gritty day-to-day basis, I'm just going to make people mad. I sleep in. I'm not a good morning person. I get up and shuffle into my office, which is 10, 12 steps from my bedroom. I sit down and I work until I'm done working. And then, and my kid doesn't even, my 16-year-old kid doesn't even come through the door until 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the bus gets home. And at that point, he doesn't actually want a ton to do with me until dinner time. So there you go. I'm sorry.
You know what though, Jess?
I feel bad that I'm not contributing.
You should not feel bad.
No, first of all, you're not allowed to feel bad. But secondly, no. I actually do hate you, but not for the reasons that you think.
Oh, so, why not?
Me too. I wonder if it's the same.
Okay, maybe.
We're going to share. Well, okay. Well, let me
say, well, let me say one other thing, which is that I am very, very lucky in that I work fast. So, and I think I credit a lot of that with working with KJ for the couple of years that I did the column at the New York Times because I didn't used to work so fast, but I'm much faster now. And so when I actually sit down and get focused, I work really, really fast. And I think that's been one of the saving graces. Even when I was teaching full time, I'd get home from school, I'd get up crazy early, get home from school, and then sit down to do the other work, which was, you know, not only the grading, but also the article writing. And when that happened, I was working really fast. So I will add that caveat in that I'm a pretty fast writer.
Well, also the boundless energy whereby this week you're editing a book and also removing wallpaper from a room and then painting another one. Like, I just want to like weep when I hear about this. But it's also
that's my fun time. I mean, I've said it before, weeding or gardening, and I can't do that in the winter here in Vermont. So I've been removing wallpaper and repainting a room that I promised I would repaint when we first moved in a year and a half ago. I'm finally getting to it. And that's how I relax.
Well,
is that your point of hatred, Serena?
It's sort of
just the boundless energy.
I think it's the boundless energy, but it also might just be focus because I have as many work hours as Jess does probably. I mean, today alone, my husband has made me two meals and, you know, a cup of a latte worthy of Italy. And
he does take those things seriously.
Yeah.
While that is awesome, I will point out that the presence of another human being is, you know.
Okay, you're right. So that might be kind of a push.
He is there.
KJ is trying to say is that sometimes having people in your space is difficult.
Yes.
It's true. I also have a kid home from school today. So, you know, good times. But it's not the hours that that I'm fighting against so much as getting my hands around the business itself all the time. I need to like silence everything and write a couple hours a day, which is hard when my email inbox is like one of Dante's circles of hell. And I literally every day don't know what to do first. And that's
the thing that mystifies me about your workflow is you're getting so many words written, but you're also managing the business of self-publishing your books, which blows my mind wide open. So I'm actually really curious, and I know a lot about your schedule. I'm really curious as to how your daily workflow works for you.
Well, when it works, it's because I do those words first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really hard for me lately because of that inbox. And I know that if I look, there'll be some like you know, fires to put out in there, or people who want answers. And that it's really hard for me to ignore that as like a pleaser, as a my personality type wants to get back to people right away. But if I do, it's just done. So I've actually had to make, you know, silly little rules for myself. Like when I'm drinking my Italian-worthy cup of coffee in the morning, I can't look at my email right then. I just can't. Because I'll get sucked in and I'm like, oh, it'll just take a second to answer her. And then I'll start to wonder, like, oh, I wonder what the numbers looked like after that latest promotion. And then I'll go look at them. And it's really hard because that's working as well. Like, that's work and it arguably needs to be done. So I'm wrestling the writing and the business all the time. And what really does not get done is like painting a room or even maybe vacuuming it, because that's just got to go. Like when this topic came up, you know, how do you guys get it all done? I immediately thought of J.K. Rowling and her quote, you know, but you don't understand, I live in squalor.
Right. Well, and, you know, on the other hand, again, I like vacuuming. And so there are certain things that for me, it's, well, the reason I like painting and the reason I like vacuuming and the reason I like cleaning is that when I'm doing those things, I'm plugged into an audiobook. So it's almost like, or even better, I'll drag my laptop into the room where I'm painting and I'll watch a television show, which is like, or a movie, which is like crazy luxury. So for me, that ability to turn my brain off and listen to something else while I'm actually getting something done for me is incredibly satisfying. And if you think about it, I was talking to someone about this morning, I can point at that wall and say, look, I did that. It is done. Whereas with my edits, it's no one knows. It's this big morass of words and no one knows what was there. And I can't point at anything when my...
And when it turns into a book, we'll just figure it float out of you like
exactly.
that.
So, well, and yeah. when my family comes home
no
at the end
points
of the day, it can be tough because my husband's a physician and he like is out there saving people's lives and my son's out there learning things and I'm sitting here at home. It's like, you know, I moved some words around today. So it can be that that's my thing is I, you know, being able to point to something and say, look, I cleaned that today, at least makes me feel like I got something done, especially when the edits aren't going well.
Well, maybe my reason for hating you will make you feel better, because my reason for hating you is that you are so extremely good at protecting your time. I feel like you don't. And some of that has to do with, you know, the number of kids and where mm-hmm. we live and the flexibility and stuff like that. But like when I, you don't let people dump 47 dentist appointments and
yeah.
an extra carpool. And I really want to get my hair red on the bottom. Can you drive me to Fairleigh and pick me up again 3 hours later? And also, you know, the guy is coming to fix the heat in the bedroom. And like, I feel like you're much better about like, yeah, no, sorry, people, you can't do that today because I'm editing. And my whole week has basically gone to that / health stuff that I can't deal with.
But
so
partly,
I'm looking at...
But partly that has to do with the kind of kid I have, too. I mean, I have a kid who's, you know, I have a 16-year-old who basically goes up to his cave time room and hangs out in there and does his stuff in there. And if on the rare occasion he needs, a haircut, it doesn't take 3 hours. So, you know, it's just, we have very different also.
I didn't sit there for 3 hours, just to be clear.
So, no, I get that. But, I, you know, on the other hand, I also don't have joiners. Like, and even when my kid was a joiner, you know, when he, for example, when Benjamin did cross country, he would tell me which meets to go to because he knew full well I was not going to all of them. And I think that's important is, you know, then if he said to me, you know, please come to this particular meet, you know, it's important to him. And then I can, you know, showing up means something. But yeah, I guess you are right.
Well, that is what I'm getting out of this is that I really did. I wrote down my time mm-hmm. from when I got up until when I sort of stopped working for the day. And Monday I didn't do because I forgot it was Monday. Basically, I did work, but I forgot it was Monday because it was that kind of week. We are recording this during Martin Luther King week, so I forgot Monday. Tuesday, I had total writing time of 1 hour and 50 minutes and total work time of 3.5 hours because two kids had dentist appointments And I went to the dentist, and then one kid looked at the dentist and said, I think I'm going to barf. And the dentist said, you sit over there and don't touch anything. So I ended up even having to like reschedule that kid's dentist appointment in a burst of true inefficiency. Because to me, if you don't take at least two people right. to the doctor or dentist at a time, you've completely blown it. And then, you know, I sort of came home and I did. I mean, props to me. I'm going to take this one. I do write first. I write first almost no matter what, after the things that I have been unable. So that was the dentist.
And you write and outside got, the house, you know, too. You are off.
No, I do sometimes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're so good at that though.
Yeah, that day I could have. So that's what I'm looking at is like, okay, I had an hour and 50 minutes of writing time and total work time of 3.5 hours because carpool, because I made dinner, because I drove someone to hockey. Okay, because I took a Spanish lesson, but that I'm allowed to do that, right? What I'm looking at is what time in there could I have probably gotten back? And the answer is maybe the dentist appointment. And my partner does do a lot of those things, so it just depends. I need to speak up. Carpool, I could work harder because I ended up with carpool every day this week. So I could work harder to make that, you know, not happen so well. Because Wednesday was much the same thing, except there were my doctor's appointments, and I can't really do anything about that. I have issues, and I have to go, and then I'm depressed, and that doesn't help. But, again, I did come home, and I did write first.
Actually, I want to break in here because I think listeners need to know something important. When you say carpool, it's because if I still lived where you live, I would be having to do a lot of that driving because where we live does not have a bus to take the kids to the high school. So there's this requirement of someone to go down a town away and pick up the children. And, you know, Finn has a bus he can take every day now. But if I was still living there, I would at least once a day have to jump in my car and carve an hour out of my day to go get children.
But if I were meaner, I would make the children sometimes do other things. Like sometimes they could go to the library. And I've been so much better about this year, but I could be better still. Like, you know, you could go to the library. Or in one child's case, there is a bus. It doesn't get the child all the way home, but instead of being an hour round trip, it would be a 20-minute round trip. But the child doesn't want to take the bus. And part of me is like, well, once I'm in the car for 20 minutes and then I end up picking that, then I might as well pick all the other children up. And that's how I get stuck with carpool all the time. And then I have a sick kid and other people had sick kids and that stuck me with carpool all the time. Yeah, this has not been a good week, but it is sort of forcing me to go, how am I contributing
right.
to this not being a good week? And some of that is saying yes to things that I could either pack into all the same time or just say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to sit at the library for 2 hours until your dad's ready to come home. I could do that.
Yep.
I really could.
Yep.
I could do it more. I do it some.
Serena.
Yes.
Kitchen here.
Well, I have found, and it's a little lesson that I keep learning over and over again, that
I love those lessons.
Aren't they great?
That I even when I think I'm paying attention to these details and, you know, getting my hands around this, if sometimes, in fact, usually there's more attention I could be paying because the answer's in there somewhere. You know, I knew going into January that I needed to get words first and I wanted to get it. And then I was not getting it. And I would end up getting my sticker at like 10:30 at night, having sat down to work, you know, sort of at 7:30 in the morning. So obviously lots of slippage going on there. And I really had to say, okay, why? Why does this keep happening? It's not because we're not smart enough to get this job done. It's something is blowing us up every day. And it was me going into my inbox just for something quick.
Yeah, that's killer.
It's Twitter for me.
I agree. You can't do that. I am actually so resolute about this Okay, so on to this morning, when I didn't have a doctor's or a dentist or anything, and in theory, I would have been back home and sitting at my desk at 8:15, ready. No, I don't actually sit at my desk, but whatever. Ready to write. Except that when I went out at 7:30 to feed the mini ponies, we were startlingly one mini pony short of a pair.
Uh-oh.
That's not normal. There should be two. So I sort of followed the evidence and looked around, and fortunately there was not a mini pony laying and hurt anywhere. He had broken through the fence and burst down and headed down to our barn. So I had to spend an hour, I mean, I had to stop, take the child to school, and then I had to come back, repair the fence, strip the wires, rewire the fence, go down, get both the ponies again, because in the interval the other pony had gone down to the barn, and put them back in the, yeah. So at that point I kind of gave up on the week. And I had a point to telling this piece of the story, but I don't remember.
I don't know. If you had been Serena, you could have been dictating your book the entire time you were doing all this work, because it appears that Serena's getting her words in through alternate means recently, which is also just infuriating to me. I mean, inspirational, yet infuriating.
It doesn't really work quite like that, Missy.
Yeah, I think you could probably do it while repairing the wire. I mean, maybe if you repaired wire fences every day, but believe me, I couldn't.
Well, I'm just really impressed.
It required thought to repair the fence.
I'm just impressed by the whole process, because it's something that I just haven't been able to do, and I'm just impressed, that's all.
I don't actually dictate the prose of my book much. Instead, I when I need to work out what happens next in a book, like I do my pre-writing this way. You know, so I'm walking around Lebanon while someone's having a violin lesson saying like, and then he has to run into her in this place and it's awkward because of this thing. And then, you know, but it's not words that I can save.
I think actually what I enjoy most is the image of you all bundled up talking to yourself as you walk around a high school track in another town, talking about the plot of your book. I enjoy that image very, very much.
Yeah, well, good.
But it really helps.
It does help.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's one of the things I gained from sitting down and doing this thing where I sort of every half an hour wrote down what I did and how many words I ended up with, was that actually doesn't take me that long to get a fairly large amount of words. I wrote 2,700 words in 2.5 hours today.
Wow.
Because I did, yeah. But part of that is because I had pre-written. A little of it I pulled out of an old draft and was able to drop in. This was all pictured. Like, I knew what was going to happen. I knew what they were going to say to each other. I knew who the people were. I knew what I was doing. So I was both sort of heartened and disheartened by how little actual time it would probably take me to finish the draft, and yet how slowly I am accomplishing.
You know what, though?
The draft.
When I worked on Wall Street, we had a daily profit and loss. Like, every day you would have a P&L, and the boss would walk around at the end of the day and look at everybody, and you would say up 25 grand or down 10 grand or up 50 grand. And then every few months, you would have like a career day. You would be able to look at the boss and say, I made $700,000 today. And then you would walk away after that and get your overpriced glass of wine or whatever and think, what if I just came to work on the days?
What if I just wrote bestsellers?
Yeah, like, but that's the thing about your 2,700 words in 2.5 hours. Like, the stars and moon were in perfect alignment for you to get that.
Yes.
And that's why I look so carefully at, like, what is my average take over time? Because you can't put that pressure on yourself all the time. Like, just because your day theoretically has 2.5 hours in it doesn't mean you're going to end up with 2,700 keepers.
What's been actually really
noticeable? These might not be keepers, I might add.
What's been really noticeable about that, Serena, is that this month I have worked every single day on my editing, and there have been some days that I haven't worked a long, long time. I've been having some of those brain cramps where that KJ talks about sometimes, where she's like, ow, it hurts. I want to go do something else. And I feel like I'm wrestling my brain to stay on the page. But just the fact that I worked every single day means I think I'm going to hit my deadline at the end of this month. Or at least I'm going to come within a couple of days if I go over. And I think that just comes down to the fact that even if I had a couple of really slow days or, you know, low, whatever work sticker days, that they're all there and that I, you know, something got done every single day. And that's really helping me more than I thought it would. I thought, you know, oh my God, this is going to be a grind. I'm going to have to sit down for 6 hours a day this month to get it done. And that hasn't been the case. I just have to sit down every day.
Yeah. And you have to forgive yourself when you can't. Like I'm finding myself in the odd position with the book that I'm working on now, that I know a lot about how it ends, but it turns out that the beginning was a little bit mysterious to me, which never happens. It's usually the opposite. And so I've been so frustrated with myself about not knowing how to get to that point in the future. And, you know, some of that, you can't rush that cogitation time. So I could tell you all my tricks for writing books in the passenger seat of the car while the kid is doing his karate. But it doesn't matter if I'm not ready to, like, spit out chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
I have been noticing that you mentioned earlier that it's been harder for you to get your words done every day. And I have been noticing that your text with the word sticker is coming in later in the day than it usually does.
Yeah, that's because I'm spending the whole day thinking, but why are we doing this in chapter 4? You know, and trying to move the steering wheel in ways that it doesn't want to move. But anyway, that happens. And when I know what I'm doing, then I really just have to sit there and let it happen. Like at the end of our podcast, we talk about what books we've read, and I won't have one today because I finally figured out some stuff about chapter 4 and I don't want to walk away.
You're reading your own book.
Yeah, that's true.
In your head.
I'm actually about to have to do that again just to get the big picture, because I'm at the point in editing where I'm trying to drop in a few pieces here and there. And when I do that without going back through the whole book, I end up repeating myself, like not even realizing that I already said that, or, you know, this feels so brilliant right now. Oh, that's because I already wrote this entire section and it was 20 pages ago.
And it's in, a different chapter.
Editing is so hard for that reason, though. I think that it's so hard to get back in any kind of flow because you're trying to dip into something that you wrote, you know, 6 months ago. And that's what's proving really mentally challenging for me. In because I've now made that mistake a couple of times, writing something that I realize is two paragraphs before. I don't like it. What I'm actually doing right now is a fun thing that, when I say fun sarcastically, it's so in books by big publishers that are not academic books, you have to do this this thing at the end called key phrase call out, where you go back and you find a little key phrase, and then you go to the end and you sort of, instead of an end note, you give the little key phrase and then you give the reference for the key phrase. And that's what I'm in the middle of doing now. And there really isn't anything more boring than that. Very, very few things anyway.
But that sounds like the kind of thing you would normally have, like, sort of done at the same time.
I do have the end. Yes. So I have traditional end notes, like, because I was using that, Citation Manager, they're currently as endnotes, but I've got to go back into the text.
Transferring the endnote into a
key phrase thing.
Super fun.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of thing where I can have a movie playing, or I can, you know, listen to, you know, the BBC's Pride and Prejudice for the 3,000th time while I'm doing that kind of thing, and that makes the process a little bit happier for me.
Mm. All right. Well, I feel like we've sort of. I don't know if we've learned anything, because these fall into the category of, as Serena said, lessons we just keep learning. But okay, I'm taking away that I need to protect my time, and heck, at least I'm good at not looking my emails and text. And that reminds me that that's why I told the mini pony story, because if I had looked at my texts before I went out to deal with the mini ponies, I would have known that the Mini Pony was out because someone had texted me.
Actually, KJ, I have to tell you, I actually was being interviewed for something yesterday, and I referred to you and I referred to How to Be a Happier Parent because I said the person was asking me about how she was feeling like her time was just being stolen away from her and how much time her kids were spending in extracurriculars. And I said that one of the most meaningful sort of action points from How to Be a Happier Parent was about talking to your kids about what you're, if you commit to this thing, here are the things you're not going to be able to do. Like as you went through, I think when one of your kids was thinking about doing an extra sport or something like that. And, and I said, you know, that's one of the things that, yes, we have to keep relearning this, but it's also important to talk this through with our kids. If we're going to say, you know, our kid wants to do another team sport and you say, look, your parent works as a writer and your parent is going to have to drive you back and forth. So let's talk about the things that you won't be able to do with the time. And let's talk about the things that are going to be difficult for me to do with my time. And I don't think that means we're selfish. I think that means that we're teaching our kids that it's important to value their time as well. And that was sort of the point I made to the journalist. And when phrased that way, it's about teaching our kids to value our time, allowing ourselves the ability to sequester our most valuable bits of time for the work that we want to do the most. And that just means we're taking ourselves seriously as professionals. So that's my big takeaway. I'm giving everyone permission to tell their kids that they can't do another team sport because they have to be able to get the words written. There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, and I also like Serena's point about not, you know, about having small rules about the coffee. I happen to have small rules. My rule is the opposite of hers. I'm allowed to sit at my desk and have breakfast and my coffee while I look at Twitter. But as soon as my breakfast is gone, I have to shut down Twitter and get to work.
Ah. Yeah, it's having these little practices is important. And for me, the no email, like, for me, it's basically no phone till I take kids to school because I just will get derailed so easily by a work text or a work email or something. Our mornings are so calibrated that, you know, 5 minutes later is a problem. So that's one. I don't even think about that anymore. And then no email until after I've got the words done. That's another one I don't think about anymore. And that's a little bit of a luxury. I don't have an editor. If there's something I really needed to check, I would, but I don't have to. So I'm used to those. Wasn't given myself credit for those.
One other like small thing that also works for me is my rule generally is morning is for the words. So if I'm scheduling a dentist appointment, if I'm scheduling an interview or one of those conference calls I was talking about, I say I'm available anytime after noon. And just the morning is not available. That's just for the words.
Yeah, I just have to cut myself a little more slack this month. For whatever reason, for basically every appointment known to man, I apparently at some point last fall looked at it and said, well, January'd be good for that, with the result that every week is like orthodontist and hair and dentist and chiropractor and me. I have all my follow-ups, and that was not a question of choice. That was a question of timing. And just endless, endless stuff. Plus, it's hockey season.
Yeah.
It's the only sport that two of the three children that are still at home play. Things will get better when it is no longer hockey season. They really will.
That was my November. My book will be turned in, so November is just wide open. Schedule all the things.
Yes.
And I paid, man. I paid in November. That was tough.
That's a lesson I wish that I would learn, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, they gotta do those things sometimes. It wouldn't be any better in February.
Yep.
I don't know if it's better to mash them all in, but boy, it is frustrating to look at a week and go, wow, every single morning somebody has an appointment to do something at 8:00. Because that's when I make mine. Because you can get them done, and then you can get them to school, and then, yeah. And about half of them my partner takes, but hey, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
All right, Serena, you have anything to add before we move on to the reading stuff that you didn't do?
Right. Did you not do the reading?
I actually realized that I did read something. Should I kick off with that?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
I read a beautiful novel named Great and Precious Things by Rebecca Yarros, which comes out in February. And she does angsty, emotional military heroes in sort of a crossover between romance and women's fiction.
Hmm. Okay.
That sounds really good, actually. I read something that I think I'm going to be lending probably to KJ, I'm assuming. It's called, I picked it up at the Vermont Bookshop in Middlebury, Vermont, and it's called The Wilderness Idiot, Lessons from an Accidental Adventure. It's by Ted Alvarez, and Ted Alvarez is...
That does sound like my book.
He's an editor for Backpacker Magazine, and it's really, really fun. It's their essay, they're sort of short pieces, so you can dip in and out, and it's really, really funny. It's making me laugh a lot. I really liked it.
Well, I read a book that I am going to be passing on to you, Jess.
Oh, good.
I read Toil and Trouble by Augustine Burroughs.
Yep.
And it is so much fun. It's basically, what if David Sedaris believed he was a witch? And yeah.
I was worried.
Do I need to say anything more than that? Well, it's awesome.
So Augustine Burroughs, you know, I've been a fan of for a long time. I was just really worried because Wolf at the Table I didn't love, even though he wasn't trying to be particularly funny in that book because it was about his abusive dad. So I was concerned with Toil and Trouble. It sounded a little off the rails to me, like Augustine Burroughs is convinced he's a witch. But I'm so glad that you liked it because I wanted it to be good.
I do like it. And I don't care that Augustine Burroughs is convinced that he's a witch. I enjoy that about Augustine Burroughs.
Good.
I appreciated that.
Good.
Yeah, it totally works in this context, I think. So, book trade.
Oh, good.
Coming soon.
Because as far as I'm concerned, Augustine Burroughs' book, Dry, is my favorite addiction memoir that's ever. I love that book so much. And I'm an Augustine Burroughs fan, so.
Yay. Yay. All right. Well,
I hope
that's our episode on what we really do all day. And today we spent, you know, about an hour recording this. I spent the preceding hour prepping tomorrow's episode fully putting it all in the schedule. That's, you know, that's the other thing about actually tracking what you do. Is you end up with little notes that say things like, you know, wrote Instagram story about pony escape half an hour. And then you are forced to realize that seems like nothing. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I actually kept track of how much time it took me to get this one email address that I really needed to work. And it took me over 3.5 hours of my time to get an email address to work.
That people were emailing you to.
Well,
it's your email that, no, it's not like you were looking for somebody else's email.
Clarifying. Oh, yes, no.
You have this email address that people need to email you at.
I needed it operational also for, like, my Squarespace stuff.
That was harder to explain than
it was. It just wouldn't work. And it turns out that it wasn't my fault. It was on some weird list at Squarespace, blocked list at Squarespace. I've been blocked. But, 3.5 hours just to get a stupid email. And then, you know, you just get frustrated and then you're all cranky and you're yelling at your family because you can't get the email address to work. So that's fun.
Well, anyway. It's presumably always something. If it wasn't that, we'd be out chopping logs for our fire or you know, preparing food because the food doesn't come prepared. I'm just sort of thinking, like, why did Charles Darwin have so much more time? Okay, he had a wife. Anyway.
All right.
But really, it probably is always something.
Yes, it is. And for those of you who haven't visited or been to the #AmWriting Facebook page. If you want to be a part of that, anyone can be a part of it. And it's where this question got started. And there's a lot of details there that KJ and Serena and I added to that thread about where all the time goes and how we spend our time. So between those, that thread that's over there and this podcast, I think we've sort of covered the topic. But go on over to #AmWriting on Facebook, which is, you know, now a couple of thousand really cool writers, I have to say. Some really cool people over there. So until next week, though, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
This episode of #AmWriting with Jess and KJ was produced by Andrew Perella. Our music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and performed by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their services because everyone, even creatives, should be paid for their work.
Pause, stop. Thank you.